Thornton with a green light hit, hammers Subban.
Get ready.
To Bergeron, green shot, scores!
This is the Boston Bruins postgame show.
Milan Lucic with a game on his stick, walks in and scores! Lucic is the hero!
Streaming live on CLNSradio.com.
Get him!
And welcome into the CLNS Radio Boston Bruins postgame show. Bruins win by a final score of 3-1. That's three games in a row. You've heard it right. The Bruins have won three straight games. They continue to find a way to get points in the standings. And like I said, they are right here. They are back in it. They're back, like I said the other night. They were close to it the other night, but now they are officially back into the playoff race. They had a win also on Thursday night against the New Jersey Devils. They have three in a row. They've taken points in seven consecutive games now. And that's something I want to talk about a little bit in a few minutes. That's just the way it is. The Bees win again. 3-1, the final score. And Tuukka Rask looked good. Chris Kelly had a shorthanded goal, and, well, the first two goals for the Boston Bruins go by the name of David Pastrnak, the rookie out of the Czech Republic, the youngest player in the National Hockey League. Almost had the hat trick, took the shot after the buzzer rang, but, you know, you don't want to see a guy in Pastrnak's good, and it would have been cool if he got his first career hat trick there, but at the same time, you know, you want to see it, like a first career hat trick. It's better to get it three goals on a goalie, you know, and like that last one, empty net goals. I don't really count empty net goals, you know. I mean, yeah, it counts in the standings and all that stuff and in the stats, but seriously, an empty net goal, like what'd you do? You put it in empty net. I mean, it's like celebrating Tom Brady hitting a receiver who has there's no defense on the field like that. It's nothing. It means nothing, but you know. So he didn't get the hat trick and whatever. Who really cares about that? But David Pastrnak had his first two goals of his National Hockey League career today, and it was a nice one. It was very good, and a nice win for the Bruins. They had times where they kind of got slow and didn't do much, but they did really well today, and I think it was definitely something you got to be happy with the Bruins. And we're going to play a little tune. I think I played it last time. I think you're going to play it again because, you know, they just keep coming.
DJ Khaled! Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
And all the Bruins do is win, it seems like. They now have three wins in a row. Let's break this one down a little bit goal-wise here. First period, David Pastrnak, as Jack Edwards would say, his first career power play goal, 11 minutes and 23 seconds into the game. David Pastrnak gets the goal and a rebound from Torrey Krug. The assist on that one to Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara puts the Bruins up 1-0. We head straight to the third period for scoring. And again, 4 minutes and 57 seconds into the period, David Pastrnak again with his second goal of the game, second goal of the season, second goal of his National Hockey League career. The assists on that one to fellow Czech David Krejci and Adam McQuaid. About 5 minutes later, around that time, a little shy of 5 minutes, we'll say 4 minutes and 54 seconds. Chris Kelly gets a shorthanded goal. Assists go to Louis Eriksson and Zdeno Chara. And at 14:13, the shutout for Tuukka Rask is broken up. Claude Giroux gets a power play goal, assist by Mark Streit and Jakub Voracek. Claude and Jakub, I would like to congratulate you guys on getting fantasy points for me when my team is losing by 90 points. Congratulations, guys. Let me tell you something. You better bring it next week because the team was crap this week. So better see it next week. That's how it ends, 3-1. Go back. I mentioned that third goal for the Bruins, Chris Kelly. Great play by Louis Eriksson. A little self-pass off the boards and comes down the ice 2-on-1. Nice pass to Chris Kelly. Kelly scores to get his fifth of the season. And the Bruins take a 3-0 lead on that. They win the game 3-1, as I previously mentioned. Bruins get 27 penalty minutes tonight. and Philly gets only 13. I think 27, a little lopsided. We get a fight just 7 seconds into the game. Adam McQuaid got a 2-5-10, 2 minutes for instigating, 5 minutes for fighting, and 10 minutes misconduct on Nick Schultz. Nick Schultz got the 5 minute penalty for fighting Adam McQuaid. But that didn't affect the Bruins as they come out and they win the game. And you know, it's always great playing Philadelphia. Philly as Philly's always just a physical team like the Bruins. So that's why you got to respect the Flyers. They do some cheap stuff, and the Bruins also do some cheap stuff. So you have to be concerned with it a little bit, you know, when each of your team is doing that. But they both play a physical brand, and it was good to see a nice little bit of a chippy game. Both teams kind of went dry at points, but overall it was a very good game. Number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. You press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. Again, the number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. You press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. If you don't want to call, you're a little too shy. You know, a lot of people are shy these days. Why don't you tweet at me at CLNS_Kevin. Give me a hashtag, the Bruins. Hashtag Bruins, and you'll get your tweet right on air. Give me thoughts on the game and what you think about everything going on. And what do you think about the Bruins continuing on? Next game is going to be tough. They're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I personally think last year teams measured themselves against you. Teams in the Eastern Conference came to Boston. They measured themselves against your team. This season, teams must go to Tampa Bay and measure themselves against Tampa Bay. This time, Tampa Bay is coming to Boston. But teams... they measure themselves against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is a very good team this year. Tampa Bay will be on the back end of a home of a back-to-back. They will be facing the Flyers on Monday night, and they will come to Boston and play the Bruins on Tuesday. But Tampa Bay is a very good team this year. Break them down a little bit. I'm going to go back into the Flyers game, but quickly break down. They got a 22-goal scorer in Steven Stamkos. Tyler Johnson leads the team with 45 points. He was undrafted, and Nikita Kucherov has 41 points. Those guys played very well together. Stamkos obviously up there. 22 goals, 18 assists, 40 points. They have three guys with 40 or more points. The Bruins only have one guy with 30 or more points. So you can tell the offensive difference is there, as Bergeron is the only player for the Bruins with 30 or more points. It'll be interesting to see going forward. But let's get back into the Bruins game here against the Flyers. Let me give my three stars of the game, because it's something we always do on the show. We give our three stars of the game. My third star, I'm going to give it to... Chris Kelly gets a shorthanded goal. Reading the stat line on Chris Kelly, gets a shorthanded goal. It's his fifth goal of the season. Only had one shot on goal, so his shooting percentage was 100%. He had two block shots and two hits. He had 13-21 of ice time, 3-28 on the shorthand, which is very good. Shorthanded, there was a plus one for the day, obviously because he had the shorthanded goal. So he gets a third star in my mind. Second star goes to Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask made 24 saves on 25 shots. Continuing to return to form a little bit, not you know, Vezina type form that he was, but continuing to return to form a little bit, and he's definitely starting to find his game, and that's something he has to be happy with for the Bruins. They also got a shutout from Nicholas Sedberg the other day, which is also a good sign. The backup's kind of rolling around. I know it was against New Jersey, and New Jersey only got like 12 shots, I believe. Bruins really dominated that game, but it was good to see it. You know, the goaltenders are starting to play well. So Tuukka Rask, like I said, 24 saves on 25 shots, a 960 save percentage in 59 minutes and 58 seconds of ice time. Only missed 2 seconds due to being pulled off the ice for a delayed penalty on the Flyers. And my number one star, you got to give it to the kid. You got to give it to David Pastrnak, who had his first career two-goal game of the career season day, whatever you want to say. He gets two goals. Now has 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points in 7 games in his NHL career. He has 2 more games left in the little 9-game trial before the Bruins officially decide what they want to do with him. But I think this guy is going to be here to stay. I think he's still got a little bit to work on, but I think he's going to be here to stay. And that's going to be good for the Bruins. So Pastrnak gets the number one star in my mind. Again, recap that from the bottom up. Chris Kelly is the third star. Tuukka Rask the second star. And David Pastrnak, the number one star. Bruins come out and win 3-1 against the Philadelphia Flyers. They get their third consecutive win, and they get their seventh straight game with at least a point in the standings. They improve their record now to 22-15-6 in 43 games. They now have 50 points in the standings. And this is something that we continually rip this team. And I think they're underperforming still for the amount of money that they spend. But we continually rip this team. They played 43 games. They have 50 points. They are only, if I look at it, 8 points back of the league leaders in points. Tampa Bay in 43 games has 58 points. It's 4 games back from Tampa Bay with a long way to go. Nashville, obviously, is the best team in the league this year. They have played 40 games. They have 58 points. And then Anaheim's played 42 games and 58 points. So you sit there and you got to look and say, the Bruins are still right there with the pack, you know? The tough part is a lot of teams at 50. It's still close, but as bad as this team has been at times during the season, they're right there. They are in the mix. They are well in the mix and looking to stay in the mix. Obviously, right behind them is Florida, and Florida can still hop them in the standings, and the Bruins, you know, if Florida does hop them in the standings, the Bruins are on the outside looking in, but, you know, they are well into the mix of this season right now, and they're now officially ahead of Toronto. The most Toronto can have through 43 games is 49 points, and the Bruins are ahead of them in that standing, in that category, so that's fine with us. That's fine with them, and they're right there. The Bruins are still in the mix despite the bad play this season. They come out and they win again. Third straight win. We haven't seen that for a long time. I think we saw that in the beginning of November before they went out on a West Coast trip, winning at least 3 consecutive games. It was towards the end of November. They beat Carolina at home, they beat St. Louis at home, and they beat Columbus at home, 3 consecutive wins. But, you know, they had 5 consecutive starting October the 30th and into November 10th. They had 5 consecutive wins, and they came out and got embarrassed by Toronto and Montreal. Combined score of 11-2 in those 2 losses. They come out and they get 3 straight wins in that situation. And then since then, it was 2 losses, a win, 3 losses, a win, 3 losses, a win, a loss, 2 wins, a loss, a win, 3 losses, and now 3 wins. You know, it's been very inconsistent for the Bruins this year, but if you look at it, you know, they're starting to find a little bit of a groove here, and it's definitely something to be excited about. Schedule, like I mentioned on the show the other night, not necessarily the most exciting. They have Tampa Bay, like I said, probably the class of the East right now. The New York Rangers on Thursday, who have won, I believe it's 12 of their last 15 games or something. Let's put it there, hot. We're going to look that up right now. And then they follow that up with the game against Columbus, who beat you 6-2 the last time you played them. The New York Rangers have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of their last 13 games. So the New York Rangers are hot, and the New York Rangers are playing very good hockey right now. So the next couple of games are not going to be easy. If you want to build it up further, they have 14 wins in their last 17 games. So, yeah, it's been very good for the Rangers recently. So the Bruins, obviously, you get the 3 wins here, you get the points, but it's not an easy road going forward. Like I mentioned, they play Tampa Bay on Tuesday, then they go out and they play the New York Rangers on Thursday, then they play the Columbus Blue Jackets on Saturday before they head down to Dallas and take on old friend Tyler Seguin. But the Bruins, like I've mentioned again, they win 3-1 here. If you want to call into the show, the number is 347-215-7771. Again, if you want to call into the show, the number is 347-215-7771. You press 1 on the speaker of the host, that is myself. The Bruins win again, and then I just keep repeating it because there's not much to say about it. They just keep winning, and something I wanted to dig into in a moment, but we're going to play one more time because all they do is win. Because they
all I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
All they do is win. All they do is win. And I wanted to break down the last 7 games. The last 8 will go at that point because they played 8 games since the Christmas break. It started on Saturday, December the 27th against Columbus, and it has led us up to today, Saturday, January 10th against the Philadelphia Flyers. Bruins lose the game against Columbus 6-2. Since then, they have a 5-2 win against the Detroit Red Wings, a 4-3 shootout loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs, a 3-2 overtime loss to the Ottawa Senators, a 2-1 shootout loss to the Carolina Hurricanes, and then a 3-2 overtime win against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a 3-0 win against the New Jersey Devils, and a 3-1 win against the Philadelphia Flyers. What I'm trying to point out there is they now have a 7-game point streak. In 7 games is the maximum in the NHL. You play 7 games, the maximum amount of points you can get in the standings is 14. The Bruins have taken, in that 14-game stretch, really good, 8, 9, 10, 11. They've taken 11 of 14. I'm not good at math, but that's a pretty good percentage. The Bruins are getting points, and they're still not playing to their best. And I'm not trying to sit here and turn around everything I've said, the last 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks about this team, because I still don't see them as a contender right now in the Eastern Conference come playoff time to go deep or even go to the playoffs. I don't see them contending against a Western Conference team. But right now, they're trying to stay afloat, and they're doing a very good job at trying to stay afloat. They have 11 points in their last 7 games, and when you calculate that out, they've taken 79% of the points possible in the standings over the last 7 games. They've taken 79% of the possible points. So they're trying to stay afloat, and they're doing a hell of a job staying afloat, and that is what's going very well for the Bruins right now. I'm not trying to sit here and say, and I don't think I'm trying to sit here and say that they're back and they still have a lot of gaps. I think they still need a little bit more depth up front. Will Pastrnak be able to completely fill in the void? He's not going to be able to completely fill in the void, but there are other options. I think the offense might be set a little bit. They might try to go out and get a depth guy at the deadline, but the defense does need work, despite only allowing, 3 goals in the last 3 games. If you want to go further back, they've only allowed 4 goals in the last 4 games because a shootout loss doesn't count as a goal against you in the standings. So 4 goals in their last 4 games they've only allowed. So the defense has definitely been better, but they still have gaps they need to fill. And it's exciting to get these points, and they're trying to stay afloat, and they need to stay afloat. And like I said, I'm not trying to sit here and say that they're back and they're as good as they can be, because, I mean, let's face it. They did lose to Toronto, Ottawa, and Carolina, who 3 teams that are behind you in the standings. Now, Toronto wasn't behind you in the standings at the time when you played them, but those 3 teams are behind you in the standings. They lose to those 3 teams, and they beat Pittsburgh and Detroit, who are very good hockey teams. And then they beat New Jersey and Philadelphia, who are behind you in the standings and behind you in the standings a lot. Pretty far. They're pretty far behind you in the standings. So they're staying afloat, and they're doing their job. They're getting the points now where they need to get points. They're not getting all the points, because if you look at that, you'd really like to have wins at least against, in the Toronto, Ottawa, and Carolina situation, you'd really like to have points in at least two of those games. Carolina and Ottawa are the ones you really got to look at and say, we should have gotten points in both of those games. Like I said the other day, I was at the game down in Carolina, and the Bruins just looked awful. They were bad. They were really bad. You need to get the points. But getting 79% of the points, 11 of 14 in the last 7 games has been huge. They've beaten up. Now they're starting to beat up on some of the bad teams, which you need to do. And they go forward. Now the schedule gets tough. You have Tampa Bay, like I mentioned, a top team in the Eastern Conference, one of the top teams in the league right now, record-wise. They're in a 3-way tie atop the standings, but they would be the third-place team due to the points in games played. They will be behind, I believe, Nashville. If Nashville does come out and get a win today, they will be behind Nashville. Nashville's been playing very good. A surprise to many. I'm surprised at how good they're doing. I'm not surprised that they're actually in the playoff hunt. They have the best goaltender in the league on their team, and there should be no surprise that they are playing good. So can't be too shocked about that one. But you get Tampa Bay, like I said. Then you get the New York Rangers, who have won 12 of the last 13 games. And you get a team in Columbus. This is your last meeting with Columbus this year, but you just lost to Columbus 6-2, first game after the Christmas break. Was it all there? Was the effort all there? Probably not. You get a chance at them again. Those are 3 games. It's going to be tough. Then you head out west to play the Dallas Stars. Dallas is a very good team. Maybe the standings don't show, but they're very good offensively. Defensively, they do have some holes, and you can't get around them, but you do want to go out and play well against Dallas. You did lose to them last year, both times, I believe it was. No, it wasn't both times. I think they beat him in Dallas and lost in Boston. Then you go out and you play Colorado, who has been down in the dumps this year, despite being a very good team. They do have Semyon Varlamov, who's back and playing well. curse him for playing so well against my fantasy team this week, including a 54-save shutout against the Chicago Blackhawks. Then you have to go and travel and play the New York Islanders, who are a very good team this year again. I mean, the Islanders, they built up. They got Nick Leddy. They got Johnny Boychuk. They got Yaroslav Halak. Good team this year are the Islanders. They're towards the top of the league. Then you got to go and you gotta come home and you face the defending Stanley Cup champions in the Los Angeles Kings. And then you take on the New York Rangers again following that. Obviously, like I mentioned, 12 of the last 13 for the Rangers. That will be different. It is far out when you play the Rangers. And then you get the Islanders again before facing Montreal. So the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games you're facing. In the next 10 games, you're facing the first place team in the Eastern Conference, the second place team in the Eastern Conference, the third place team in the Eastern Conference twice, the hottest team in the Eastern Conference twice, and you mix in the reigning Stanley Cup champions and a couple other teams that you maybe haven't fared so well against. So the schedule is not easy going forward for the Bruins. And this is where they make up the points, they get the points where they need to get points, probably didn't get as many points as they had hoped in this stretch, but still 11 of 14. In that little stretch right there, like I mentioned, the seven-game stretch, they do get a lot of points. And going forward, like we said, it's not going to be easy. Well, maybe this is a situation where the team plays well, loses a couple games because of the depth, and they realize they do need to go out and get the depth that they need to go forward. This is going to be a tough 10-game stretch, so not to be too excited. I don't think the Bruins are back to where they were. No, they're not going to be back to where they were last year. They were the best team in the league last year in the regular season. They didn't show it in the playoffs. They played like absolute crap in the playoffs, and you just can't be happy with that. But the next stretch coming up is really going to show the Bruins who the Bruins are and what is going to be needed to be done to get. It comes when it comes to crunch time and when they really need to do it. Again, the number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. Again, the number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. Bruins, 3-1 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Two goals from rookie David Pastrnak. A shorthanded goal from Chris Kelly. The three goals for the Bruins. Claude Giroux gets the goal for the Philadelphia Flyers. Broke the shutout with about 6 minutes left in the game. Bruins now improve themselves to 22-15-6 in the standings, like we've mentioned. That puts them seven games regulation-wise, and win-wise to regulation loss-wise. They're seven games over 500 in that aspect. 43 games, they are 22-21, which isn't the greatest. If our back, let's go back into today's action and try and break down a little bit of the game and what we saw. Obviously, David Pastrnak is a big thing to be excited about. The key to David Pastrnak is you have to keep him with David Krejci. As long as the chemistry's there and the momentum's going, because it's strange that I remember this, but it was about 4 or 5 years ago. David Krejci got a beautiful assist. It was a beautiful goal that was scored by Vladimir Sobotka, a fellow Czech of David Krejci, and they asked him in this interview in between the first and second period about the goal. I think it was the first and second period about the goal, and he said he's European. What can I say? We have some kind of connection. And whether or not that was true or not, we don't know. But if that's going to be the excuse, then you got to keep the Europeans together, because Krejci seems to play very well with the Europeans. And Krejci set a pass to David Pastrnak was a very nice set of pass, which did lead to his second goal of the game, second goal of the season, second goal of the career. I'll say that all day if I need to. So those guys are going to have to stick together. Now, like I mentioned, and I think he will stay, and it looks like he should stay, and it'll chew up the first year of the entry-level contract. But what are you going to do about it, David Pastrnak? Should he get two more games left before the entry-level contract kicks in, or the Bruins decide what they actually want to do with him? With two goals today, you know, both playing with David Krejci. Obviously, one was on the power play, one was not. And Krejci was involved in one and wasn't involved in the other one. But he played very well today. And you probably got to keep him there, but you got to keep those two together. I don't care who's on the other wing. Maybe try Louis Erickson. We know Erickson didn't really pan out at the beginning of the. It was really in preseason. They never really that line of Lucic, Krejci, and Erickson never really played together because Krejci got hurt at the beginning of the season, and it just never really panned out. Erickson had a little bit of chemistry going with his fellow Swede in Carl Soderberg. It never really happened, but. Maybe you try to slot Erickson in and do a little Pasternak Erickson Krejci line, see what that does. But for right now, you obviously got to keep Brad Marchand there. I don't think Marchand's going to be the mainstay on that line. I don't think he adds too much to the line. Obviously, Marchand is a great guy, but I think Marchand fits well with Bergeron. I mean, you look at the lines right now. I mean, you have Brad Marchand playing with David Krejci and David Pasternak. That's a weird kind of line going on right now. You look at the second line. Lucic is playing with Paille and Bergeron. I think you'll see Lucic and Marchand maybe switch up a little bit of a – switch it up a little bit there. I think you're going to look going forward. Right now the lines look – it's David Krejci, David Pasternak, and Brad Marchand. Patrice Bergeron centering Dan Paille and Milan Lucic. Carl Soderberg is centering Riley Smith and Louis Erickson. And Gregory Campbell is centering Chris Kelly and Craig Cunningham. Those are obviously going to change. I think when you see the lines get back to normal, you're going to be looking at David Krejci is going to be centering – David Pasternak and maybe Lucic, maybe Erickson gets a shot. But, you know, Lucic will definitely and this is something that I think that Erickson would fit well in that line because Louis Erickson is a left winger. Louis Erickson is a left-handed shot. Erickson was traded by the Dallas Stars to the Boston Bruins to Tyler Seguin, and it was, you know, Peverly was also involved, Riley Smith, Matt Frazier, and Joe Morrow involved as well. But Louis Erickson's a left wing, and the thing was the Bruins took Erickson and tried to put him on the right side. It didn't work out well, and some contributed to him getting both his concussions, you know, a little bit of not, you know, having his head up on the ice because it was a different kind of area. Maybe you put Erickson on that first line. Maybe you put him at the left wing. Riley Smith slots over to the right wing somewhere else. And you know, somebody has to drop down to that third line, and maybe it's Brad Marchand, who hasn't been doing much this year. I mean, and Lucic hasn't done much this year either. He was hot the last couple games and didn't have a huge game today. But you got to try Erickson out, I think, on that top line, because Louis Erickson's a left winger. Maybe you get the little, you know, the Sweden and Czech Republic, you know, little connection going on there. Louis is a left winger. Give him a shot. Give him a five-game trial or something. See what happens with that. See if that line produces anything, because that has the potential to produce stuff. Because Louis Erickson is a two-time 30-goal scorer, I believe. He's at one time. He had 36 in 08-09. He had 29 the following season in 09-10, 27 and then 26 the following two seasons, 10-11, 11-12. So Erickson has four times hit the 20-goal mark, has once hit the 30-goal mark. Louis Erickson, he's a left winger. You got to try and fit him on that left wing and see what happens and see if it works out well, because you want to get your best out of it. And right now we don't have a lot of cap space, and unfortunately I can't get I can't pull up the numbers due to the unfortunate situation that went on with Cap Geek and how they had to permanently cease operations. But the money's tight for the Bruins right now. As I look at a salary chart here, they don't have much in space. They only have $1.6 million around that to spend. You're not going to be able to go out and get a good piece with that. I mean, it's not going to be, if anything, it's got to be sent down to the defenseman-wise, and you can't go out and get a big forward. So maybe you try Louis Erickson, and the Bruins are still in trial and error. Maybe try Louis Erickson on that first line with David Krejci and David Pasternak. Maybe you put Lucic back there, and Erickson sticks with Soderberg, and you mix up the lines a little bit, you know, differently in that aspect. But the Bruins, they got to find a way, because, like I said, they're winning games, and this next stretch is going to be the good stretch. They have the top 10-game stretch, like I mentioned, Tampa Bay, the Rangers twice. The Islanders twice, the Montreal Canadiens, the defending Stanley Cup champion LA Kings, Columbus, a team that beat you 6-2, and a team you had to beat in a shootout earlier this year. The Bruins are still in a little bit of, they're still trying to find their way. It's good to see them getting the points, but they got to figure out something here, and maybe you will see the lines will be changed up a little bit, and it'll be figured out how to get things done and how everything's going to get put together. You want to see the Bruins, obviously you want to see them win. And we all want to see them win. The amount of money they spend, you want to see them win. And, you know, Charlie Jacobs comes out and kind of tells everybody their jobs are on the line, and they start playing well. It's definitely interesting to see going forward. Going back into today's game, we'll break this down one last time. If you have any other thoughts, give us a call, 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. Break this one down quickly, give a little stats before I kind of break down quickly into the Tampa Bay game before I let you go here, and you get to go watch the New England Patriots play the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Divisional Championship, AFC Divisional Playoff Round. Like I mentioned, Pastrnak gets the first goal, second goal goes to Pastrnak, Chris Kelly gets the third goal, and Claude Giroux gets the goal for the Flyers. Zdeno Chara had two assists today. Chara adds the numbers, three goals and eight assists for 11 points on the season for Chara. Louis Eriksson gets his 17th assist of the season. He has nine goals and 17 assists for 26 points. Chris Kelly gets his fifth goal of the year, five goals, 15 assists. 5 goals, 14 assists, 19 points for Chris Kelly. David Krejci picks up his 13th assist of the season. He has 5 goals and 13 assists for 18 points on the season. Torrey Crew gets his 10th assist of the season. Excuse me, his 11th assist of the season. And he goes 8 goals and 11 assists for 19 points. Brad Marchand, nothing. I don't know why I brought up his name. Adam McQuaid gets his second assist of the season. One goal, two assists, 3 points for Brad Marchand. And David Pastrnak gets two goals and one assist on the season for 3 points. Tuukka Rask picks up his 17th win of the season. He's now 17, 10, and 6. Obviously, goals against average and save percentage. Goals against average goes down. Save percentage goes up. But I don't know those numbers because I am not very good at math. So we'll have to find that out tomorrow morning when the ESPN updates its stuff. But the Bruins, let me give you the one more time. They get the win here, 3-1.
DJ Khaled, yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
So as we move forward into Tuesday night's action, the Bruins will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay will have a game. They will play on Monday night against the Philadelphia Flyers in Philadelphia. But the Tampa Bay Lightning entering today are 27-12-4. That is good for first place in the Atlantic Division, 58 points, 4 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. You got to be happy about that, seeing the Habs not in first place. That's going to be something to be happy about. But Tampa Bay, their record will be different when we meet them on Tuesday night. But to break down the Tampa Bay Lightning here, they have their first-line center, and everybody knows who their first-line center is. That is Steven Stamkos. Steven Stamkos playing with Alex Killorn and Brett Connolly on the first line. Stamkos has 22 goals this season, leads the team. He also has 18 assists for 40 points. They also have two 17-goal scorers, Tyler Johnson and Nikita Kucherov. Johnson and Kucherov, Johnson was an undrafted pick for them, and Nikita Kucherov, I don't remember where he went. He is a Russian right winger. Kucherov was picked in the 2011 second round, 58th overall. They have really connected well. Andre Palat is also playing on their line. That line has been probably one of the best lines this season. Tyler Johnson is the center. He has 17 goals and 28 assists for 45 points. Nikita Kucherov has 17 goals, 24 assists for 41 points. And Andre Palat has 9 goals and 23 assists for 32 points. So you're looking at 86 and 32. I'm not even that good at math. 118 points, am I correct, on that line combined? So that line has been pretty damn good for them. Obviously, Steven Stamkos, like I said, 22 goals, 18 assists, 40 points. He is the high scorer on that team. This team's deep. Third line center, Valtteri Filppula. I almost said my nickname for him, which I don't hate Filppula. I just have a funny nickname for him. Can't say that on the air though, so I wouldn't don't want to get in trouble with that one. So Valtteri Filppula is the third line center. He's playing right wing on his side is Ryan Callahan. Cedric Paquette is playing left wing on that line. And their fourth line, Brian Boyle, Brendan Morrow, and Jonathan Drouin. Brian Boyle, very you know, a depth center, third, fourth line center there, Brendan Morrow, the former captain of the Dallas Stars, and Jonathan Drouin, who is a very talented rookie, having a slow start to the season, but will be a very, very good talent in the NHL. I'm talking 20, 30 goal scorer, 20, 30 a season. He'll be a 60, 70 point guy throughout his career. If he does evolve into what he can evolve into. Defensively, Victor Hedman has 20 points, 5 goals, 15 assists for Victor Hedman in just 25 games. He missed 18 games due to a foot injury. Really hurt the fantasy team for me that in that stretch, but he's back and he's helping. He's doing very well. 5 goals, 15 assists, 20 points, a plus 10, averaging 22-21 of ice time. Victor Hedman was picked, I believe he was third overall behind John Tavares. No, he's second overall behind John Tavares in the 2009 NHL entry draft. Really starting to build into himself. Has never had less than 20 points in the season, but he's really starting to find his game. Last season, he put up 55 points. This season, already at 20 in 25 games. You know, you add that out, you're looking at, he's on pace for, you know, over 60 points. That's not going to happen. He's obviously going to tail off a little bit. If it was on an 82-game schedule, he would be. He's on pace to play 64 games, 51 points. But if he was on pace to play 82 games, it would be over 60. We obviously don't see that happening. But Hedman, definitely a guy to watch out for. He's got size, and he also has a shot. He's 6'6", 229, excuse me, and he's a very good defenseman there. They also picked up this year from the New York Rangers. They picked up Anton Strahlman, who's been playing very well for them defensively. Very good team here that the Bruins will be facing off against. Victor Hedman, like I said, very good. Strahlman, Jason Garrison's been very well. Andre Schuster. And obviously in net, they have one of the best goalies in the league. He kind of came out, had his coming out party last year in Ben Bishop. Top goalie in this league. He has a 21-6-2 record, a 2-3-1. Goals against, .913 save percentage. Last year in 63 games, he had 37 wins, 14 losses, and 7 overtime losses. That was 37-21 overall. A 2.23 goals against. And then really got his time, starting time in St. Louis and Ottawa. Finally got traded to Tampa Bay. Did very well, and that's where he stands. Now he's a very good goaltender. He's 6'7", 214 pounds. He's a very, very tall man. He's a very big man. If he can stay healthy, this team's going to be very dangerous going deep. The Bruins definitely have their hands full. Like I mentioned, Steven Stamkos, Tyler Johnson, Nikita Kucherov, Jonathan Drouin, Andre Palat, Valtteri Filppula, Victor Hedman, Anton Strahlman. This team is good. This team is built. They may escape Ben Bishop. They may get Evgeny Nabokov with a back-to-back. You don't know who's going to play Monday. You don't know who's going to play Tuesday. It all depends on numbers, but they may escape Ben Bishop, Nabokov, not having the best of years, but Evgeny Nabokov is still a very good goaltender in this league. As his time, he's been in there in a while. Still looking for that cup and hoping to get a cup this year with Tampa Bay. We'll see how that goes for him. And Bruins, like I mentioned, have their hands full with the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday night. That game will be at the TD Garden. Any final thoughts on the game here, guys? Give me a call, 347-215-7771. Again, number to call on the show is 347-215-7771. Press 1 to speak to the host. That is myself. Wrapping it up here in a couple minutes. Callers are lacking. Tweets are lacking. If you want to tweet at me, at @CLNS_Kevin, as you are. Obviously gearing up to watch the New England Patriots take on the Baltimore Ravens. That we will have a CLNS Radio postgame show following that game today. So you watch the game. Hopefully you get to watch Tom Brady and crew go out and win the game. The Patriots obviously haven't had the greatest success against the Ravens in the playoffs. They've been up 3 times. They've only won once. They've lost the other 2 times. So you don't want to see that one right now. You don't want to see them lose that one, excuse me. But we will have a post-game show after the game. I believe my co-host, Patrick Schenkauer, I'm CLNS Cheap Seats, my co-host there, Patrick Schenkauer, and Jeff Kane, they will have the reins on that one. They will break down the game as the Patriots try to move on to the AFC Championship game, looking for a little bit of redemption tour, I bet, as 2 years ago they lost to the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. Last year they lost to the Broncos in the AFC Championship game. I think it'd be good for them if they could get on the redemption tour, maybe beat Baltimore today, and if Denver does beat Indy tomorrow, get a little bit of a redemption tour and get their road to the Super Bowl. Wrapping this one up here, the Bruins defeat the Philadelphia Flyers 3-1 today. Two goals from the rookie, the kid, David Pastrnak. He is 18 years old. He is younger than me. He is scoring goals in the NHL. Myself, I was at work this morning at Market Basket, and I was cleaning bathrooms. So I think life, and that is not myself. Bruins win 3-1 over the Philadelphia Flyers. They return to action on Tuesday night as they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning, the first meeting between the two teams this season. Be the first of four. Tampa Bay, a very good team this year. We'll be coming off a game on Monday night, but we'll see how that takes us. Again, as I round this out here, I'm your host, Kevin Maggiore, finishing the show up here for the Boston Bruins post-game show on CLNS Radio. Bruins win 3-1 over the Philadelphia Flyers. Third consecutive win, seventh consecutive game with a lead Tuesday night. As the Bruins look to continue the win streak, get four in a row. Good luck. Good night. Go Pats. And hopefully you will hear some good talk from Pat and Jeff following the Patriots game later on tonight.